Now what I want to do is start a new series of Sunday school lessons. Is that with your approval? Is that okay that we do that? Okay. Here's the thing. I don't have a PowerPoint yet. Okay, I'm working on it. So give me a chance and I will get the PowerPoint up. I know some of y'all are like, well, if there's no PowerPoint, Brother Chris, why are we here? I get it, but they'll be up one next week. So if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, here's what we want. And I told you this at the start of the year. I said, hey guys, I've got three things I'm really interested in hitting on this year, and in different orders and different amounts of time and coming back to each one. This is the one that I want to come back to occasionally during the year and not just make it a one-off kind of thing. I want to talk, so we've been talking about, we talked about holiness and living holy before the Lord. I want to look at something called spiritual disciplines. We all need to be disciplined in our lives, do we not? We all need different, some of y'all need monetary discipline, right? You know what that means? That means don't spend all the money that you have, right? I thought my wife and I agreed on money, and then it took however many years we've been married. I don't know how many years. Jared, do you know? I don't remember. If I remember the year, I could do the math. Thank you. How old is Aaron? Okay, good. Okay. How old's Aaron? We've been married probably 36 years. I think 36 years. Okay, good. We're getting to the big 4-0. So anyway, why did I bring that up anyway? About discipline. Yes, financial discipline. I didn't know. I thought that at this point in our lives, we were saving for retirement. My wife thought we were living our best lives now and not worrying about the future. And I didn't realize until almost 40 years of marriage, I didn't realize that we saw so differently about money, because we never really had any money to even say anything different about. There was no disagreements about money. We just never had any or never had much. But now we're getting into our higher earning years and we don't have kids to take care of. Now it's come to find out that we think very differently about it. And so I was like, wow. But anyway, discipline is important for a Christian, right? As we did at the start of the year, remember the start of the year I came to you and I said, yeah, y'all guys, you know, start of the year, everybody makes resolutions and stuff. I said, I don't want to be that kind of person, but it's not, if you are, that's fine. But I would think that we would want to be resolved as Christians to start every year wanting to be more holy than we are, more holy unto the Lord. And to be holy requires discipline, right? So I want to return to our theme of Christian holiness. While on earth, we want to advance in holiness. Why? So that we can look better to people, so that we can have people look up to us. No, we want to be holy to bring glory to God and honor God through our lives, our lips, our talents, or whatever it is that the Lord's blessed us with, right? Advancing in holiness is a requirement no matter how young or old you are. Last, I don't remember, it was Sunday morning or I was going to ask Brother Chad, but anyway, we heard a message, I think it was Sunday morning, on spiritual warfare last Sunday. Y'all remember that? Was it Sunday morning or night? Sunday morning. We heard a message on spiritual warfare, all right? And that's a message that we probably need to hear once every couple months, right? Because that's the life of a Christian. Advancing in holiness and in spiritual warfare, advancing in holiness and spiritual disciplines, it's a requirement no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are physically, or how old you are in the Lord, or how young you are physically, or how young you are in the Lord. Advancing in holiness is a requirement. Because you know the old saying, if you're not going forward... Maybe it's not such an old saying. I thought the old people would know it. Yeah. In the Christian life, there's no standing still. We don't stand still. You're either advancing or you're falling backwards. There's no just standing firm where I'm a pretty good Christian right now. I just try to hold on to what I got, right? There's none of that in the Christian life. If you're a Christian, it's not something that a Sunday school teacher, it's not something that Brother Chad has to get up and tell you to do, although it is good to hear encouragements to do that. It's something you should want to do. If you're a Christian, you want to honor the Lord. You want to glorify God through your life, right? And if you're a Christian, the one thing you hate the most about yourself, or the times that you hate yourself the most, or the times which you do not glorify God, which you dishonor God, mostly it's through sin. Those are that's your desire as a Christian. David Hall, yeah, anyway, I ran into this guy in Tyler about a week ago, and we got talking, and he's a musician guy, and we talked, and he knows Jonathan, I know Jonathan, and we know some other people anyway. And the one guy, he asked, hey, how's David Hallmark, and what's David? I'm like, oh, yeah, David Hallmark, blah, blah, blah. Jonathan just bought a guitar from David, blah, blah, blah. And we start talking. David Hallmark is the guy that once said to me and Jonathan, he said, well, he didn't know that you could really know if you were saved or not, because if you knew you were saved, then you'd just take it easy and you'd just sin if you could never lose your salvation. And I'm like, no, you won't. No Christian will ever think like that. No Christian can ever think like that. Well, I'm once saved, always saved, so I'll do what I want. No, if you have that, if you really believe that and think that way, you're not a Christian, because you're not going to think that way. The way you're going to think is you want to bring glory to God. You want to honor God with your life, in your life, and through your life. But in order to advance in holiness, it's going to require discipline. If you've ever been on a diet, which I'm sure we've all done that, it takes a lot of discipline, right? Whether you want to get in shape now, I'm trying to get in shape now. So I found out that there's these exercises that old men can do, these chair exercises, right? Have y'all seen those? Jared's laughing because he's seen those online. It's for old dudes. Am I right? It's for old dudes, right? Chair exercises. I thought the chair exercise was you sit in the chair and read a book, but apparently you're having to do pull-ups and sit-ups and other stuff like that in your chair or whatever, using your chair or whatever. So we know that these things require discipline. I'm an old person, so I've told myself I'm going to do this chair workout and stuff like that. And I've also got one of those balls that you roll around on that strengthens your core or whatever. I don't care about my core. I just want to help strengthen my back, because my back is really bad. But anyway, so I told myself I'm going to do these every other day, because I tried to do them every day and that my body's like, nah, I ain't going to do that. So I'll give my day to recover, but I have to have discipline. I'm like, oh, it's, well, I tell you what, and this is just me. This has nothing to do with y'all. I don't do it on Sundays, and it's not a big deal. I don't care. This is just me. It has nothing to do with me, y'all, or nothing. But on Sundays, I try to do as little as possible besides reading my Bible, reading books about the Bible, and, of course, the most holy thing you could do on a Sunday, taking a nap probably as well. So I try to save it, but I have to have discipline. I'm like, okay, it's been 2 days. It's time for me to work out. Do I feel like it? No. Do I want to do it? No. It requires discipline, right? And you say, well, Brother Chris, the spiritual life, the Christian life, it shouldn't be like that. Well, of course it shouldn't be like that, but guess what? You still live in this world. You have the world, the flesh, and the devil. You still live in this robe of flesh. So it's going to be like that. Don't tell me that you always, 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 always feel like reading your Bible. I just don't buy it. If you tell me that afterwards, come up to me afterwards, tell me that, I'm like, okay, I believe you, brother. I believe you, sister. Whatever. It's fine. I'm not going to argue with you. It's fine. I just find it hard to believe that every single time that you think about it, because if you're anything like me, sometimes I just like, I'm not feeling it, right? But that's where discipline comes in, because guess what? Anytime I'm not really feeling it, or I'm like, I just don't really have time this morning or whatever, I got to get to school or whatever, every time I sit down and do it anyway, I always feel better about it. Just like every time you exercise, you don't want to exercise, but after it's done, you feel better about it, probably because all the whatever runs through your body when you endorphins or whatever, right? Anyway, so we have to have, I'm sorry, it's taking me 20 minutes here. We have to have spiritual discipline in our lives. It will require the use and the practice of certain disciplines, certain activities every day and every week of our life, right? If we get lax or we get slack in these duties, it could easily in the Christian life lead to a cold heart, to a backslidden condition. That's already okay. To a cold heart and a backslidden condition. It can easily lead to that, right? And these things that I'm going to go over with y'all are not something deep and something hard to understand. You're like, Brother Chris, we've heard this all our lives. Yeah, you have. Okay, how often do you practice these things? Turn to 1 Corinthians 9. Did I tell you the chapter? Sorry, I just did. 1 Corinthians 9. So which chapter were y'all on? Number one? If you're like me, I just go to the middle of the book and wait. 1 Corinthians 9. Look at verse 24. We know these verses. I'm not trying to tell you something that you don't already know. I'm trying to remind you of things that we need in our lives, right? So the Christian life, as Brother Chad preached it last week, one way to look at the Christian life, and the reason why we look at the Christian life that way, because the Bible tells us to, and that is as a warfare. The Christian life is a warfare. Another way that Paul says to look at the Christian life is as an athlete, right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. Temperate's an important word. In all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, Paul here is using a perfect metaphor to describe how believers are to approach this life. In one place, as we saw last week, he uses the metaphor of a soldier. In this place, now it was perfect for these Christians. Who is he writing to? Who is his audience here in this letter, his immediate audience? The church at Corinth. His immediate audience is at the church at Corinth, right? Which, as we all know, had a lot of problems in it, right? But anyway, the metaphor is perfect because Corinth was the home of the Isthmian Games. It was an athletic competition. It was second in stature only to the Olympic Games in those days, right? And so the people he wrote to would have immediately understood his metaphor of an athlete, right? Because they had those games and they, you know, that was a big deal to them, right? At verse 24, look what he says. Know you not that they which run a race, run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize? He says that Christians are to think of their lives as a race, that we're to be athletes. Now, we don't run to, look what it says. So run that ye may obtain, I'm sorry, one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Now, the idea here is that we don't just, as Christians, run to compete, we run to win. And if you're like me, you don't just compete just to compete. You like to win. I like to win stuff, right? Whether it's a board game, which I don't really play board games because I just don't have the patience for a board game. We played Monopoly some when the boys were coming up. We played a few board games, but it's just not my thing. But whatever I compete in, I want to win. That's just me, right? And if you know anything about the Thrift brothers, I don't know the older Thrift brother, but the other two Thrift boys, you know that Brother Jack and Brother Mark, they're all about winning, right? Every time. And so I'm the same way. Paul says, we don't just run to compete. We run to win. But how? How do you win in this context of the Christian life? Look at verse 25. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. I think this is part of the how. Every man that striveth for the mastery, that's us, I want to win. Okay, what about that person? They are temperate in all things. Temperate means that you exercise restraint or self-control. I have some days where I'm exercising a whole lot of restraint and self-control, and I have some days that I don't seem like I'm restraining myself, or I'm not able to restrain myself much at all, right? I don't know about you. And you could say, well, the circumstances of life. No, you're a Christian. The circumstances may change, but the Holy Spirit living inside you doesn't. And you're a Christian. That doesn't change your testimony. So we can't use that excuse. But we have to exercise restraint and or self-control. That's how athletes become successful. Athletes deny their bodies for a larger goal. An athlete denies his or her body. They may want half a pizza, but instead, what do they eat? They eat a bagel, right? They may want to sleep late, but instead they get up early and go run a couple hours, right? That's what Paul's saying here. We need to exercise self-control, not just physical self-control. Obviously, Paul's using this as a metaphor. Not physical self-control, but Spiritual self-control, right? Good. I thought once we did those psalms, y'all would be more, but it's okay. It's all right. We'll practice some more. It's okay. It's not your fault. I blame myself. Anyway, that's essential for holiness in the Christian life, is that we exercise restraint and self-control. We exercise spiritual disciplines. And we'll get into those because that was the bad bell, so I have to stop. And so we'll get into those starting next week. So starting next week, you say, well, Brother Chris, I want something that's, I want Sunday school that's more applicable to my life, where the rubber meets the road. Okay, well, this is going to be applicable to your life, where the rubber meets the road. In the degree that you practice the spiritual disciplines that I'm going to start giving you next week, I think is the degree at which you advance in holiness. I really do. And that I advance in holiness. And that, to the degree that you practice these disciplines I'm going to give you, and it's not going to be getting up at 5:30 and jogging and running for a mile or two or whatever, but it is going to be things that you may have to get up early for or earlier than you currently do. In as much as you do these spiritual disciplines that we're going to go over, not only will you advance in holiness, but also it will help you to deny yourself and restrain yourself and restrain and put off the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if no one else gets anything out of these, I'm going to get something out of them because I already have studying them. And I'm going to get something more out of them. So if it doesn't help anybody else, it'll help me. But I'm not doing it just for me because I think we all could use it. I know this would be the kind of Sunday school lessons you'd want to do maybe at the start of the year when people are thinking about New Year's resolutions. But folks, the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. And it doesn't matter when that new beginning is. It doesn't have to be January 1st. Let's stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer. I appreciate y'all's time. Appreciate y'all's attention. And I hope that starting with our spiritual disciplines, that we can look at these spiritual disciplines, we can practice them, and we can advance in holiness, advance in grace, and advance in the love of the Lord. Brother Tony Monk, would you dismiss us in prayer?